Hello there, you're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. Welcome to Acupuncture Point.
One, I can hardly express my mixed emotions and my thoughtlessness.
Doing really, really well. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station with over 1.3 million listeners every single week. That is an awful lot of love, positivity and glow that we are sharing all around the world. So thank you so much for being part of today's Acupuncture Point. A brilliant, brilliant show lined up for you today, even though I do say so myself. We are going to meet filmmaker Mia Donovan. Mia Donovan has made a film called Dope is Death, which demonstrates how simple ear acupuncture can help to transform entire communities. It really is wonderful. Those of you who are regular listeners to the show might know that I am an advocate of the fast diet. Today I'm going to be sharing some top weight loss tips from the creator of the fast diet, Dr. Michael Mosley. And if all that wasn't enough, we're going to play another marvellous round of Game of Themes. And if you'd like to join in all of the fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to connect the dots and discover which theme links all of the frankly fabulous music that I'm going to be playing for you in today's show.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Today, we're going to be a little bit glamorous. We're going to spend some time with filmmaker Mia Donovan. Mia's based in Montreal, and she's written and directed 3 feature documentaries, and her films have been widely shared at film festivals, on TV, and platforms like Netflix. And she's here today to talk about her marvellous documentary, Dope is Death. Welcome, Mia Donovan.
Thank you so much for having me.
So excited. You're absolutely sprinkling some Montreal film glamour onto our program.
Thank you.
So let's kick off. Tell us about your film.
Well, Dope is Death traces this history that's becoming more known about how the Black Panthers and the Young Lords and other Black Power activists like Dr. Mutulu Shakur, who's Tupac Shakur's stepfather, how these young people discovered the benefits of acupuncture for treating victims of the drug plague in the South Bronx or in New York during the early 70s. So they basically discovered how acupuncture could be used to treat withdrawal symptoms and secondary symptoms associated with drug use, as well as the underlying issues that might drive someone to seek drugs for relief. So like anxiety, depression. So they discovered this program of a non-chemical treatment for drug addiction at a time when methadone maintenance was the standard, and it still is today to some degrees, for treating opioid and heroin withdrawal symptoms. So it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I love the film, by the way. I thought it was moving, very, very moving, and it was beautiful. Where did the title Dope is Death come from?
A lot of people ask me about this. It was one of their slogans. So back then, they were very militantly opposed to methadone, to drugs, to heroin and methadone. And they saw the activists viewed drugs as part of a chemical warfare to pacify resistance in communities of color, in Black and Puerto Rican communities in particular. So Dope is Death was a slogan that they used, which today sounds very extreme, but in the political context, it makes more sense, because today we think of harm reduction and different approaches to treat. But yeah, so it comes from their actual political slogans that said, "Dope is death. We will fight heroin and methadones by any means necessary." So they had this sort of, you know, this militant approach to really fighting drugs. They really saw them as weapons. So this is why the slogan was so, and it just sort of stuck with me. But I have gotten a lot of questions about it.
Now, did you come from an acupuncture background, or where did the idea for creating this documentary come from?
No, not a, I mean, I was always open to acupuncture, but what really struck me about the film was, first of all, I met Dr. Mario Wexu, who's a retired acupuncturist in Montreal who a friend recommended. And I have chronic migraines, or had chronic migraines, or much better. So he was treating me for acupuncture, and he had this poster on his wall in his apartment, which we see in the documentary, that had these Black illustrations of Black hands holding needles. And it said, "We will fight heroin and methadone by any means necessary, the Lincoln detox." And it was just, I was like asking him about it. And then he told me how the Montreal connection between the acupuncturists, or sorry, the connection between the Black Panthers and Montreal, because Mario and his father start the first acupuncture school in North America in Montreal in 1970. So when Dr. Shakur, the Black Panthers and the Young Lords wanted to learn, the only school was in Montreal, which was in French, but Mario, who was a young, who was like 22 at the time and bilingual, him and his dad agreed to give them to give four members of this collective scholarships and to teach them in English. That's sort of a long answer, but it is, it's just like this strange, like I was like, you know, I heard this and I was like, how come more people don't know about this? And on a personal note, I have a stepbrother who has been on and off of methadone for decades and different pain and painkillers and heroin. And he's struggled with, you know, this idea of going off drugs, getting on other drugs. So I was like, wow, acupuncture, like, and then start to do more research.
And it absolutely works. It absolutely works. Over here, I don't know if you heard of the Grenfell Tower tragedy. A few years ago, we had a big tower block in West London that the entire tower block was destroyed in fire, and many, many, many people died in it. And some very dear friends of mine set up an ear acupuncture service in a local mosque right next to this tower. And they have been working in the community, helping people every week, just popping in a few needles, and people sit in silence. And the levels of trauma, the levels of sadness, the levels of distress, but also all of the other wonderful things. Oh, my digestion's got a little bit better and I'm sleeping better. And it really does have such profound, profound impact.
Absolutely. The same thing after 9/11, there was a tent set up in a church where NADA practitioners, your acupuncture practitioners, were treating first responders for trauma. Yeah, I mean, it's been used worldwide since the mid 80s, but it's only really the last, I would say, 8 years or so that students and scholars are really digging up this history and celebrating it and, you know, like giving the credit to the activists as well and the real roots of where this amazing protocol came from. And yeah. What kind of like, how it arose, like why it was, you know, how it makes sense that it was created to serve the needs of this population that had a huge distrust for the Western medicine. So it was a means towards self-determination to heal the community. It started off to heal as a response to drugs, but then it grew to treat, you know, they started treating, by the end of the 70s, they were treating like mothers of drug users for anxiety. You know, it was just spreading in the community, and then it got shut down, but...
There's some real, I mean, there's love woven through this film, and I could feel it. I could feel it, and at some points I was so moved. There's this lovely scene when one of the NADA practitioners he breaks down in tears when he's talking about how much he loves doing this work because it's so important for his people to be out of pain, and he breaks down and. I mean, really, really beautiful. But in addition to love being woven through, there's some real fire. There's real fire about injustice. I wonder if you could talk to us a bit about that and how you as a director managed to put those emotions into film.
Well, I think the program, like, we can't separate this movement of healing and serving the community without having the political context, because it was, first of all, since the beginning, the acupuncture program was under attack by the funding agencies of the Lincoln Detox. So the city, because they accused the Lincoln Detox of exploiting funds, of not actually providing real treatment because they weren't providing methadone. And they really had to fight to keep this program alive in the context of, you know, getting city funds, because they wanted to, it was a huge problem. New York had 25% of the heroin users in the US. It was such a big problem. People needed this treatment. People needed help. And they were providing not only the relief with acupuncture, but providing a holistic approach. Like there was a community, you know, they were teaching courses. They called them political education courses, but a lot of times it was like, these are your rights as a tenant. Like this is, you know, these are your rights. Like you need to vote. Like they were just getting people involved in their own community. And I think for myself as a filmmaker, I was just trying to find the heart of the movement, like what is really, you know, what everybody can relate to. So we really understand that it, like these groups like the Black Panthers, the Young Lords, these groups that have somehow become so labeled as like radical militants or even terrorists in some cases, like we don't, it's so underrepresented the actual real work that they did to provide basic services to the community that was outside of a capitalist system. And that was just about love and like healing people. And their motto was each one teach one. So they were really about like, we can all like work together to heal ourselves. And the whole thing is just really beautiful and makes sense. And it's survived, but you know, had they not been shut down in 1978, who knows how, you know, much that would have grown, you know, like their approach. I mean, what's good is we still have the NADA protocol, but it was really stripped down from the kind of community program with the political education classes and just that supportive space.
I loved being able, I mean, I'm so nosy. I'm an acupuncture practitioner and I love nosing around other people's practices. I loved the acupuncture room where the sessions were taking place. Mm-hmm. It felt really, you know, miles away from sterile, you know, divorced surroundings. This really was about groups of people coming together and just talking openly. There's this lovely scene where there was a young lady who was needling in one ear and another guy was needling the other ear. And I just thought, how wonderful to have two people caring for one person at a time. Just in itself, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, and now, I mean, that being in that space was really powerful. Just being able to sit, like to be able to spend an afternoon, a couple afternoons there, because people would come in and you could tell they're very like withdrawn and sort of tense and irritable and not really like making eye contact. And then Juan would give the acupuncture needles. And then within about like 5 minutes, you would see people transform and they would relax. And then everybody would start talking. And it was really quite beautiful. It was obviously very beautiful to witness it happening, you know, like the real effects that you can't really deny, you know, when people are like, oh, so many people ask me, but does it really work? And I'm like, well, yeah, it does, because I also got the treatment and there is like, you know, it's great. And now I'm happy to report that the New York Harm Reduction Educators Clinic has grown. So now their room is like three times the size, so they can treat so many more people. And like the Lincoln Detox, the sitting in circle, like the way Dr. Matula Shakur described it, it was like having everybody sitting in a circle was important because nobody knew what acupuncture was. They were nervous about the needles. So they could come in and see their friends or their neighbors receiving it. And it made it less scary. Yeah. And also the energy of everybody kind of just sitting together is, they recognize that, you know, that power in the healing. So
important. So important. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful. I mean, lucky you to be part of that community.
Yeah. I feel very grateful and fortunate that I was able to, you know, like to find out about this history and then have this partake in it this way to bring light to this amazing practice. And yeah, just to meet these great people that are so inspiring. Mm.
And how readily received were you into this community? Because presumably people go, you know, week after week after week, and they build relationships. How easy was it for you to become trusted?
Well, that's thanks to Juan Cortez, who after, you know, he didn't agree. We met many times in person and spoke on the phone before. He agreed to really like participate, and he asked everyone before I went to the clinic. And, you know, a lot of people, we asked people before if they were comfortable, but that's really because of Juan. They trust Juan so much. So since Juan trusted me and my camera person, Glauco, it worked. I mean, wouldn't have been possible without, you know, doing documentaries is a lot of it is building relationships over time. Not only so people can trust you, but also so you can really understand the people you're representing, because that's a huge responsibility. The film will be out for ever. And as a filmmaker, that's it. You have to respect that, the responsibility of immortalizing these, you know, these images of the people who are allowing you to film them. So.
And how now there is an awful lot of stigma still associated with drug addiction. How open were the people who you interviewed about sharing their stories and about being open about their addictions?
I mean, not everybody is, but those that were, they're the people that we spoke to are at a place where they're still, in the process of healing, and they understand. I mean, they were just, I guess it's a personal decision. The people we spoke to felt very comfortable, and they saw it as a way to further destigmatize addiction. Because the more people speak openly, and you see that, oh, they've, you know, like Juan Cortez was an active user for 18 years, and he's like, you know, he's like him in the position he is helping other people. Like if you're feeling hopeless and you meet, you know, somebody like Juan Cortez or other people who've turned their life around and who are living so healthy and, you know, are sharing, that's very inspiring and motivating. So I think people understand that if they're willing to share about their experience, right?
I loved hearing some of the descriptions. Oh gosh, I feel very calm, you know, and I don't feel angry. And just hearing these just normal people talking about something that's actually very profound. You know, I'm an acupuncture practitioner. You've now seen a lot of acupuncture work. So it might be very easy for us to take that for granted, but calming down and soothing emotions and getting in control of ourselves, that's massive stuff. Absolutely massive stuff. And to hear people articulating it with so much gratitude, I thought was really, really beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, many people, you know, acupuncture practitioners are very sort of calm, genteel sorts of folks. And politics can often be the last thing on their mind. Is, from your perspective, acupuncture political?
Well, I see, I mean, it's hard for me not to see it political now after researching this history and understanding how it grew out of these social economic conditions in a response to a very, how healthcare is politicized and how big pharma is politicized and the war on drugs. So it came from this place. I understand also how it doesn't need to be a space of a political space. Like Mario Wexu, who's the teacher who taught these activists acupuncture, he's not political. Like he's just like, he's always like, I didn't even know they were Black Panthers until later. Like he just wanted to make sure people understand how to heal each other. Like but I also understand that in the context of fighting the war on drugs and oppression in America, where in white supremacy is so prevalent and racism, that the healing nature of understanding white supremacy is part of the healing. if that makes sense. Like they talked a lot, Mitchell, like the political education classes, they talked a lot about framing addiction in a socioeconomic context. Whereas experience, like friends of mine and what I know about like 12-step programs and a lot of other therapeutic approaches, it's a lot about taking personal responsibility for drug use. But there, it's not that the individual doesn't have a responsibility, but you look at it as it's who did drugs serve, you know? Yeah. So I think, you know, so it's hard to not think about it in politically in that way.
Well, it's certainly stimulated a big fire within me and a real desire of thinking, now, where can I set up my clinic? I want to set up a clinic like this. I want to be spreading good within my community. It really did have that impact on me. What impact did you hope or intend for your documentary to have on people who watch it?
Well, there's so many things, but one thing is kind of to provide on a very individual, personal level, Dr. Mutulu Shakur, to provide a counter narrative to who he is, because he's been incarcerated for 35 years. He's been labeled this a very dangerous criminal. And the work that he did in the community to treat drugs has been pretty much like written or not written, you know, like omit it from history. So it was like, part of it was to provide this counter narrative so people understand, and also to think more critically on who we criminalize in society and the role of drugs in society. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to answer that in like a, but there's obviously, I wanted to share this history in hopes that people think differently about these things.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I love the fact that you have shone such a beautiful and very gentle light onto something very, very profound. And I hope that lots of people who watch it will maybe think, you know what, I'm going to give that a try. I'm going to give that a try, or I'm going to recommend it for my son or whoever who might be dealing with addiction issues. What's the response been? What feedback have you had so far?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I know Dr. Shakur has been getting so many letters, which is amazing. I know that the NADA, National Acupuncture Detox Association, has now changed their history, like has written Dr. Shakur, the Black Panthers and the Young Lords into their history and really acknowledged that it didn't start in 1985. It started in 1973. And a lot of acupuncture schools have contacted to acquire the film for their library. So it's been awesome. Like, that's amazing. And I think for Dr. Shakur, like, he really deserves that. I visited him many times in prison and he would try and take my pulse, you know, like he's just such a, and the guards would put an end to it. But like, he's really, he's a gifted healer. He's, sometimes when I talk to him on the phone, he'll read my voice. He'll be like, wait a second, take a breath. You're sounding a little, you know, you're sounding very, like you have a lot of anxiety. What's happening? Like, he's really understands how to relate to people, not just intellectually, but in a really, you know, like as a healer. So, and it's beautiful. There's not a lot of people like that. I mean,
well, I had no idea until I watched your documentary. I had no idea about the roots. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. So this, you really are helping to clarify history.
That's, I couldn't really ask for more. That's amazing. That's, you know, that's what I think is my, what I love to do. What I love about documentary filmmaking is that we can learn stuff like this, but also not just learn like the facts, but hopefully get to know these people, you know, like get a sense of who they were. And yeah, thank you.
I'd like to hear just a teeny weeny bit about what inspires you. So what draws you to particular topics for your films?
I mean, for me, I think it really is, often there's stories about people who have been misrepresented or underrepresented or somehow like represent it with suspicion, or really just like people who the media who are sort of victim of the dominant mainstream kind of narrative that often stereotypes people or just doesn't really give them the right attention. I'm thinking of all my films, but they're so different, you know.
This is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Mia Donovan, thank you so much for joining us today on Sharing the Wisdom. No. Before we go, where can people watch Dope is Death and how can they watch it?
It's available in most countries. I know in the UK, the US, on a streaming platform online, shortlist.vice.com.
Marvelous, marvelous. Mia Donovan, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
The Fortune Queen of New Orleans is brushing her cat in her black limousine. On the back seat were scratches from the marks of men her fortune she had won. Couldn't see through the tinted glass. She said, "Home, James," and he hit the gas. I followed her to some darkened room. She took my money. She said, "I'll be with you soon." Dark lady laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one. Danced to her gypsy music till the blue was dawn. Dark lady played black magic till the clock struck on the 12. She told me more about me than I knew myself. She dealt two cards, a queen and a three, and mumbled some words that were so strange to me. And then she turned up a two-eyed jack. My eyes saw red, but the cards still stayed black. Someone else who is very close to you. My advice is that you leave this place. Never come back and forget you ever saw my face. Dark lady laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one. Danced to her gypsy music till the blue was dull. So I ran home and crawled in my bed. I couldn't sleep because of all the things she said. Then I remembered her strange perfume and how I smelled it was in my own room. So I sneaked back and caught her with my man, laughing and kissing till they saw the gun in my hand. The next thing I knew, they were dead on the floor. Dark lady would never turn a card up anymore. Dark lady laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one. Danced to her gypsy music till the brew was done. Dark lady played black magic till the clock struck.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello, hello, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for supporting this week's Acupuncture Point. Now, many of you will know that I love the fast diet. That's essentially where you eat, if you're a man, 600 calories a day for 2 days per week. And the rest of the time, you can eat pretty much normally. For women, it's 500 calories, again, for 2 days. And the rest of the week, you eat normally. And I found that I've been able to manage my weight really, really well because, you know what? I love my food. But I also love giving my system a bit of a break for a couple of days a week. The author, the creator of the fast diet, Dr. Michael Mosley. I do like him. I really do like him. You should watch his program. It's on iPlayer, I believe. The fast diet, really, really good. Anyway, he recommends removing 3 foods from your diet, and it really is your best way to get slim. So here is his tip. Cut right down on sugar, sugary treats, drinks and desserts. Well, I mean, that's hardly rocket science now, is it really? But he goes on to say, breakfast cereals are usually full of sugar, as well as most commercial smoothies. And I would also add, you know, chipping in, putting in my 2 pennyworth worth, that actually smoothies are really, really cheap and easy to make at home. I sound just like my Mauritian mum. You know, you can make it at home for free. So I would agree with him there. He also says minimise starchy carbohydrates. So things like bread, pasta, potatoes and white rice. And instead of those things, switch to whole grains such as whole rye, whole grain barley, wild rice and brown rice. He also goes on to say that things like lentils and kidney beans are healthy and filling as well. And his final top tip is to remove processed meat. So things like chicken nuggets, boo, burgers, boo, hot dogs and prepackaged meals, things like that. Let's give them a bit of a wide berth. Get it? And instead, switch to things like the Mediterranean diet. Loads of wonderful healthy foods like whole grains, vegetables, seafoods, beans and nuts. And frankly, that is going to be an easy and delicious way for you to stay in shape.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I have got no service in the club, you say, say. What did you say? Oh, you're breaking up on me. Sorry, I cannot hear you. I'm kind of busy.
Sick and tired of my phone ringing. Sometimes Sometimes I feel like I live in Grand Central Station. Tonight I'm not taking no calls, cause I'll be dancing.
So, my dear friends, have you been playing along to this week's Game of Themes? Because it is already home time. I know, it's difficult for me to believe too. Of course, this week's theme is women. We started off with John Lennon, Woman. We had Cher singing her lovely song, Dark Lady. And how about this? Beyoncé and Lady Gaga singing their song, Telephone. And on that note, on that bombshell, thank you so much for joining in and for listening to me, Kevin Durgeon, here on Acupuncture Point. Please do stay tuned, because coming up next, we have Chi Time with the frankly fabulous Clara Apollo. I will see you again next week. Lots of love to you. Goodbye.
Reach my telephone.
We're sorry. The number you have reached is not in
service at this time. Please check the number or try your call again.